The president will be traveling to Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands on Tuesday. Police in Georgia say one Polk County police officer is dead after a shooting, a suspect still at large. Multiple media outlets reporting two officers were shot while investigating a stolen vehicle. One officer's okay after being shot in his bulletproof vest, but the other died from his wounds. A female suspect is in custody. A male suspect wearing a backpack still at large. There's a huge police presence along Highway 100 outside of Atlanta. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With 20% back in rewards on color copies from Staples, you can run your business with confidence. The confidence to leave behind presentations that customers will read, not recycle. The confidence to produce color manuals that'll keep your business in the black. The confidence that your financial forecast will no longer be partly cloudy. Show off your business in full color for less at Staples. Now get 20% back in rewards on color presentations, manuals, and copies. Staples, it's pro time. Visit staples.com/20color. Expires 11/4/17. Exclusions apply.
Getting your flu shot at Walgreens is easier than ever. Just walk right in, and there's no cost to you with a $0 copay with most insurance. Plus, when you get a flu shot, you help provide a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Swing by your local Walgreens anytime to get a flu shot and help make a difference. Get a shot, give a shot. It's that easy. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2018, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Vaccine restrictions apply. Talk to your pharmacist to learn more.
White House officials are out pushing the GOP tax cut plan. Here's Mark Mayfield.
Gary Cohn told reporters on Thursday that the Republicans' tax reform plan would save a typical American family with two children and standard deductions about $1,000 every year. Cohn said the plan is centered on lowering rates and expanding the base by getting rid of loopholes, especially for the wealthy. He pushed back on the plan's elimination of certain deductions by saying only about 25% of American families itemize on their taxes.
A National Security Agency contractor accused of leaking classified information is requesting bond again. 25-year-old reality Winner arrived at a federal court in Augusta, Georgia. Attorneys for Winner said no new charges have been added since she was charged in June. They noted several other cases in which defendants accused of leaking classified documents were released on pretrial bonds. Winner told the FBI she smuggled a classified report out of an NSA office in Georgia because she was frustrated with her job as a government contractor and she wanted to leak it to the press. USA Radio News.
We're clearing out summer inventory at the Yellow Tag Clearance Sale at Lumber Liquidators. Take 20% off Woodlook waterproof floors with coupon, like top-rated Avella Woodlook Tile and Click Ceramic Plank. Get 10 to 23% off all Dream Home X2O water-resistant laminate and 10% off all Builder's Pride and Virginia Millworks pre-finished hardwood. More from 39 cents and take an extra 10% off clearance at your local store, plus special financing. Look for the Yellow Tag Clearance Deals at Lumber Liquidators today.
Interns with the FBI went on Twitter to answer questions about the FBI's intern program and were immediately hit with trolls. Here's Mark Mayfield.
Interns at the FBI office in Albuquerque hosted a live Q&A session on Twitter aimed at promoting the FBI's internship program. However, a number of people took the opportunity to send in absurd and joke-worthy questions. Some Twitter users sent in questions referring to the hit TV show Breaking Bad, which was set in Albuquerque, while others asked about the Roswell incident, aliens, or conspiracy theories.
Some Mississippi police officers are very lucky to be alive. Here's Randy Bell.
Three members of a U.S. Marshals task force recovering after being hit by a car while trying to make an arrest on I-55 south of Jackson.
A motorist came around the emergency vehicles and swerved back into the lane of traffic where the law enforcement officials were.
Major Pete Luke with the Hinds County Sheriff's Office says one of their deputies was part of that task force. She was taken to a hospital along with police officers from Jackson and Ridgeland. No word on whether any charges might be filed against the driver who hit them. Randy Bell in Jackson.
A specialized Navy ship is on the way to Puerto Rico. The Comfort is essentially a floating hospital. It carries more than 500 medical personnel and has a bed capacity of 1,000. The Navy estimates it will take 4 to 5 days for the ship to travel from Norfolk to Puerto Rico. It will provide medical services to the victims of Hurricane Maria. The Comfort has been used during Hurricanes Katrina and Rita in the past. USA Radio News.
Well, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock, a little after 5 o'clock, so we'll be talking with the sports guys shortly. But there's another story that has just reached the news, and that is that Tom Price, President Trump's health secretary, right? He has just submitted his resignation. There are lots of questions about his travel. So that's the latest. I didn't hear that on the news, so there's always something. As far as Puerto Rico, whatever they have to do to get supplies in there, this is just really extremely difficult and very important that, you know, can you imagine a week without probably enough water and enough food? And, of course, even if you had a generator, there's nothing there that they can actually use the generators to, you know, to do anything with. So in any event, not in any event, but let me talk about the weather for the weekend, and then we'll be back with the sports guys. So actually, this is going to be a beautiful weekend, although there's about a 30% chance of showers tomorrow, a high of about 65 degrees, so that should be great. Again, there's a chance of showers tomorrow evening. Then it'll be mostly clear, but we have a beautiful sunny Sunday, high of about 68 degrees, so it's not that oppressive heat, and it's really the wind, no significant wind, so I guess if you're sailing, that may not be good, but only about a 3 to 6 mile per hour wind, and again, Sunday night, clear with a low around 46 degrees, calm wind, and then sunny on Monday, a little warmer, about 72 degrees. So that should be a beautiful, beautiful beginning, beautiful weekend and beginning of the week. So let me now give you a little bit from our sponsors so we can go back. And when the guys get here, because, of course, they're both late today, we'll be back. And if not, I'll be carrying on. But bring you some news from our sponsors.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's, purely delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
Okay, well, the sports guys, the other ones are not here yet, and I don't think that it's because, like me, they were up until 1:30 this morning. Any of you Packer fans or, you know, night owls who love football have watched the game last night. It was an interesting game, the kind of game I like when the Packers go ahead the way they did, excuse me, early on and just stay that way. So I'm going to wait to hopefully both Bill and John will be here, and I want to rub it in a little bit, so let me wait to talk more about that game. I also wanted to thank my husband Dave, who was my guest last week. And if anybody is interested in hearing about Packer history, you know, the program for the 22nd of September, you can listen to it. And I think you'll perhaps learn some things about the first part of the program. We talked about sports, of course, regular sports, but then we did talk a lot about the Packer history. And both Dave and I are from Wisconsin, so that's all you do in Wisconsin. Interesting, last night, everybody was waiting to see what was going to happen when the national anthem was played. A couple people mentioned to me today they were surprised that there was a flag, a huge flag in the field carried by a number of people. When I said number of people, I didn't count them, but I've seen the flag. They've done that. They do that pretty regularly, actually, before the game when they sing the national anthem. There are people in the field holding this huge flag. So they did that again last night. I also understand another bit of news that the Dallas Cowboys, who will be playing this weekend, are going to stand when the national anthem is sung. Unfortunately, I think this situation has been blown all out of proportion, but, you know, I guess I'm not going to get myself in the middle of that discussion. So what else is happening sports-related? I don't want to just bore you with everything about the Packers, although certainly that's my interest. It'll be an interesting, John nor Bill were here last week, so I had wanted to talk to them about the Giant game and, of course, the Giant Eagle game, and Bill would have been really enthusiastic, and I'm not sure. We have to find out what John's reaction is to the fact that his team is now 0-3. Of course, you know, they're not out of it. Packers have gone 0-4, and then won their next, six games, and actually got into the playoffs, and so everything is up for grabs. But a lot of the teams are really surprising. In fact, the floor mat in the North Central, meaning Detroit, is looking really, really very good this year. Chicago is, still having problems finding a quarterback, as we saw last night. Minnesota looks like they have a pretty good team. So this is certainly not going to be slam dunk year for the Packers at all. And we know that they had a tough time. They won the game but had a tough time against Cincinnati. But what else is happening? I was so pleased. I'm not a great baseball player. I used to be a baseball player. See, this is what happens when you stay up until 1:30 in the morning watching football. You can't talk the next day. You can't think, and you can barely function. So in any event, what I was about to say is I was a baseball fan while I was young. Still like the Cubs, but, you know, I frankly don't really follow it that much. But I was you know, hoping that the Cleveland Indians, of course, they're the American League, but I was hoping that they would even win more games. And they won 22 consecutive games. I think that was around the 15th of the month. And the 22nd game, they was really remarkable. They were behind 2-1 in the bottom of the ninth. They tied it up and then won it in overtime. Unfortunately, their streak ended at 22. But that was really, you know, kind of an unbelievable, run on wins. I don't know. You know, I'm not one of these people who keep all the statistics, so I don't know. I think there's been about as long a streak in the National League, but at this point I'm not sure. The other thing that I would really recommend, if you haven't seen the movie Express, it's about Ernie Davis, and I learned a lot from that movie, actually. I can never remember. I remember the coach, but I can't pronounce his name. Growing up, I always heard about the great Jim Brown. I mean, Jim Brown, if you talk to my husband Dave, would probably concede that Jim Brown may have been the best football player ever. I mean, he was phenomenal. And, of course, he went to the Browns. So Jim Brown played for the Browns, and he played back in the 50s, as I recall. I mean, I don't recall. That's why I'm pulling this out of my head. But he was one of the greats. He played for the Browns. He attended Syracuse University. And the reason that he's prominent in the movie I'm talking about, the movie is Express, and it's about the life of Ernie Davis. And growing up, I remember hearing about Ernie Davis, but, you know, I never remember seeing him playing NFL football. Well, the reason is he never played a single game. He was a phenomenal player in high school. The question was, he was definitely recruited to go to college. According to the movie, the coach from Notre Dame actually came to his high school. Ernie Davis spent his younger years, his grandfather and grandmother raised him, and then his mother's situation was better, so she came south. He was actually raised in Pennsylvania for a number of years, and I think I'm not sure if he started playing football in Pennsylvania, but he certainly learned to run, and he was an unbelievable runner, so that when his mom came and she took him back to Syracuse, he did try out for the team. As I recall, according to the movie, there was only one other black player, or as they called him in the day, polite name was Negro player. And he was a standout at Syracuse High School. And so he was being recruited, and the coach at Syracuse really wanted Ernie Davis to play for Syracuse, but didn't think that he would stay in light of the fact that he was getting offers from a number of schools. I mean, he was really considered a standout. And so the coach from Syracuse actually had Jim Brown come and meet Ernie Davis and encourage him in his own way to go to Syracuse, because Jim Brown not only was a standout at Syracuse, but he and the coach had some differences. And one of the things that I honestly thought growing up, that Jim Brown had won the Heisman Trophy, did not realize that he did not win it. And in fact, up until that time, no black football player had ever won the Heisman Trophy. We forget now the really the discrimination that took place in football and, of course, baseball. So someone like Ernie Davis, the impact of Jackie Robinson going into the majors when he was a youngster had to be, incredible, because it meant that little Negro children would be able to actually make it in sports. So if I recall, when Ernie Davis, he did decide to go to Syracuse, there were very few minority students on campus. It certainly was, traditional. I think he ended up being suited up his football year, his freshman year, and so that created some problems. But he was apparently an incredibly likable guy. They ran into problems when they played in the South, and I remember one, according to on the movie, one of the worst was the West Virginia game. And the other thing that I do somewhat remember from early football games is they were rough. I mean, these guys would get down and be punching each other if they could get away with it. I mean, it was a different sport, much rougher sport. So in any event, Ernie Davis, the great Jim Brown, did not win a Heisman. Ernie Davis went on to play for Syracuse, and they went to the national championship. And he was awarded the Heisman Trophy. So why was it I didn't realize, why was it that I never heard of Ernie Davis in the NFL? Well, the reason is that he never played in the NFL. Ernie Davis came down with leukemia while he was in college. And part of the really part of the poignancy of the movie is that the Browns signed him to an NFL contract. He actually suited up for the first game as a rookie, but could never play because of his severe illness and leukemia, and he died probably when he was about 23 years old. But it's the kind of movie that you can watch with your kids. I think it's an inspirational movie, and it does show some of the difficulties with race relations, not only on college campuses but actually in football. But it's well worth it. It's certainly something that I would truly recommend. And at this point, I'm going to play a couple more spots, and then we'll be back, and hopefully somebody else will be here. Otherwise, you're going to hear about the Packer game.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Well, all you golfers, get out there and support this activity of the chamber. And for some of you golfers, anything is a reason to play golf, right? Not my sport, although I grew up playing golf. I thought it was a little boring. And for a kid, it was. There were too many other things like tennis and swimming and diving and all those other horses, et cetera, that, you know, took precedence. And frankly, today I wish I would have stayed with golf because, as you old duffers know, you can play it until you're an old duffer. So I'm Pat Smits. I'm back with the program It's the Law. And I thought before I talk about the Packers to bore you, I'd just talk once again about the start of a scandal of basketball, college basketball, and apparently many of these bribes were funneled to players and coaches through middlemen, and according to some of the latest information is that the FBI has charged power brokers in college basketball, and as they say, they contribute to a pay-for-play culture, and has no place in college basketball. I remember some years ago, a number of University of Wisconsin players were suspended because they allowed supporters to buy them shoes. Well, so what's happening? And this is going back many decades. So many people believed that in college basketball, there was really widespread corruption. And usually it was influential shoe companies using cash incentives to direct players to certain schools, and then confident that the bribery would pay off years later when those players became professionals and signed lucrative endorsements. And I was just talking to someone this morning. I can't remember what brand of shoes, but he said that his son won't wear anything other than, and it was one of the big brands, the Nikes or the Adidas. And we're not talking about, $40 shoes here. We're talking about kids are spending hundreds of dollars on shoes. So what's happened? Now the Department of Justice has handed down indictments that appear to confirm the suspicions that many people had for years. And it also, these indictments threaten to expose even more black market dealings. So on Tuesday of this week, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, in conjunction with the FBI, issued a warning. And this was a warning shot to college basketball coaches across the country after the news broke that 10 men were indicted in a major scandal involving fraud, bribery, money laundering, and corruption. So apparently, This list of 10 includes four prominent assistant coaches at Power 5 schools, as well as a high-level executive at Adidas. So apparently, according to the acting U.S. Attorney, the bribed coaches showed little regard for the players' well-being, well-beings, I should say. And they ignored red flags, seeing only the green of cash bribes. So this is pretty significant, because most of those college coaches, even the assistant coaches, even the assistant coaches really earn substantial salaries. In fact, you know, coaches usually earn substantially more than the college presidents. So apparently more than 100 pages of court filings detailed the different ways that cash allegedly exchanged hands from a major athletic apparel company to top-level recruits, and then often financial planners and agents acting as middlemen in these situations. And the money, according to the what's been filed, was given to recruits and their families with the understanding that those recruits would attend specific schools. So four assistant coaches that are from these prominent schools are Auburn's Chuck Pearson, Southern California's Tony Bland, Arizona's Emmanuel Book Richardson, and Oklahoma State's Lamont Evans. And they have been accused of taking bribes in exchange for pushing players to sign with particular agents when those players ultimately turned pro and needed representation. And apparently the bribes range from $15,000 to $100,000. I know at least one of the coaches was suspended and reinstated. I haven't followed up to see what's happening with the other ones. So the apparently the investigation is ongoing, and there's a discussion among, at least among some lawyers, about the dark underbelly of litigation, and underbelly of the sports, and the fact that they're going to need litigation. I guess I should have said that they will need litigation to try to clean it up. So the William Sweeney Jr., the assistant director in charge of the FBI's New York office, asked, he said the charges leveled against the power brokers in college basketball. He's the one who said they contribute to a pay-for-play culture that has no place in college basketball. Well, I think I can't imagine that anyone would think that it has a place in college basketball. And there's got to be better ways to help support these young student athletes. And that really is a dilemma, because many of these kids, although they try to coach them, they try to give them help with their studies, they don't take tough courses. That's a topic for another program. But they do have to maintain a certain grade point, and it has to be very difficult with the amount of time that they're spending on practice to maintain good grades. And I'm sure that many of them are not always the brightest students, because they're the ones who've been the athletes through school and even through high school and grammar school, not as much has been expected of them. So the arrests, as I said, were a warning to others. According to, I believe it was the one of the assistant district attorneys, conceded that even the NCAA was unaware of what was going on and what started in the investigation in about 2015. So this has been going on for a couple of years. Doesn't sound to me like they handed down the indictments prematurely. So it's true that coaches hold a unique position of trust with student athletes and with their families. And so the bribery allegations, if true, suggest an extraordinary and despicable breach of the trust. And this is a quote, an almost quote, from one of the coaches. And the NCAA has put their support behind the ongoing criminal investigation. So apparently three of the people charged have conspired to illicitly funnel approximately $100,000 to assist one or more of the coaches at a university and to further ensure that the player ultimately retain the services, and to assure, at this point I'm trying to read something, that the they wanted the players to ultimately retain the services of Dawkins and Sood and sign with the company upon entering the NBA. This is what
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Okay, I'm sorry for that was cut into what I was in the middle of saying. But in any event, the acting U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, now this means that this is a federal case. So the acting U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York is the one who has been prominently out there on this case. And so one of the things that his name is Kim Joon. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. J-O-O-N, Joon Kim. And what he did, however, is decline to name specific companies or schools or athletes or coaches referenced in the documents. And, however, he did say that there are no allegations of administrators participating in the bribery at either schools or either at the schools or the athletic apparel companies. And, however, apparently Louisville confirmed Tuesday of this week that it is one of the schools under investigation. So that so they've included themselves. And the four assistants accused of wrongdoing have been suspended by their respective schools. So these four were suspended, and as I just recently was listening, I think one of them was reinstated, but I'm not sure which one. Apparently, obviously, they wanted to remain under the radar, the people who were the middlemen to get this done. And, you know, one of the universities, at least, is already on probation. I'm not sure which one, so I don't want to say that. But one of them is already on probation with the NCAA. And you know, what the Dawkins and suit, that the services that they were providing, at least Dawkins apparently indicated that they would have to be particularly careful with how they passed money to a player and his family. And so according to the documents, there was really, you know, not only criminal activity, but conspiracy. So now there was also, as I said, Adidas was named, and apparently one of the people in the court documents recently left Nike for Adidas. So, you know, the question is whether it was going on with Nike, Adidas, who else? So there was a Rashawn Michelle, a former NBA official who founded Thompson Bespoke Clothing Line. And, you know, there were a number of others named in the court documents. As I said, Jonathan Brad Augustin, who is the president of the League Initiative and program director of Adidas, sponsored a program. The clothing lines, of course, have huge possible gains from supporting the right players. So apparently Dawkins and Sood, these were the servicers, he was recently fired from ASM Sports for allegedly charging approximately $42,000 in Uber charges on a player's credit card. So, I mean, this kind of goes on and on and on. Well, I still have not seen the whites of their eyes, meaning John and Bill. So let me run you through the Packer game. Sorry, it's just me today, but I will run you through the Packer game. And I'll play, oh my goodness, guess who just walked in? Finally, at 5:43, we have John Manfreda, who is going to sit down at mic 3 and explain why he is coming in at 5:43. I actually saw John this morning at a meeting. He was there earlier than I was, and in fact, everybody was blown away.
Well, so, Pat, that was the high point of the day this morning when I was early. The rest of the day, unfortunately, disintegrated very quickly. And I apologize to you and our audience. Good afternoon. It's a wonderful sports weekend. And was hoping to analyze some of the games. And leading off, I'm sure you've been talking about the Packers' victory last night.
Well,
unfortunately,
actually,
there was some downside to that game.
Well, there was a lot of downsides, meaning all of the injuries.
Yeah.
And I didn't really talk about the game. I was talking about some of the basketball scandals. I can't talk today because I did stay up until 1:30 this morning.
Yeah, I think we're all very early, and you and I were both up extremely early because we had a meeting to go to this morning, and so we're very taxed today.
Yes.
But any event,
I mean, some of the young players stepped up, but you know, not having Bakhtiari and Balaga, you know, they're left tackle, they're right. I mean, this has really been significant. And I have to tell you, I felt sorry for the Bears quarterback. I mean, they were talking consistently about how long he will be playing. They haven't really given him a chance, but I don't know if you've seen. And did you see any of the game?
No, I didn't. But I do know they're struggling offensively, and they have some talent on that team. And it is kind of a shame that they're not as competitive as, you know, you'd like to see teams be, particularly from the black and blue division. But I think, you know, if you're Chicago, you go into that game, you're on the road, you're playing right to the strength of Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, you know, the Packers have some holes as well, and of course they sustained some injuries through the game. But ultimately, it was just too much Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and it was, you know, the fumbles. I mean, there were
turnovers. You know, you cannot win if you turn the
ball
over.
And the amazing thing for us Packer fans, it was really nice because there were two touchdowns within 53 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it was just that part was
huge.
Unbelievable.
Very difficult to recover for something like that.
And then, of course, the rain delay. There was a 47-minute rain delay. So
was that rain or a threat of lightning?
Well, it was pouring rain, but it was lightning. You saw the lightning going across. You know, they actually showed this lightning, and it was unbelievable because it was going horizontally.
Oh wow!
And all of the people had to get out of the stadium. And then, of course, there was a talk about what happens to the players. You know, when they cool off and you know, they started, and they really felt that would give Chicago an advantage because, you know, they would be able to kind of start over.
Exactly.
But the number of players that have been injured, I mean, Cobb came back last night, so he played. He had been injured the week before.
It's a huge problem in football.
More so now. And then, of course, when they came back on the field, they hadn't been able to cover it. So you could tell it was very slippery.
Yeah.
Now, field, if you know, is kind of unique. It's a blend of natural grass and then some other, you know,
turf-type substances.
There.
Yeah.
But they were really, when they came back, you rarely see a lot of that black dirt coming up.
Right.
But you did.
They tore it up pretty good.
They really did. And but talk a little bit about, you know, talk a little bit about what you think is going to happen this week. Of course, the Packers played last Sunday and Thursday night.
So they got a nice little break for them.
So they have a break.
They're in great shape. And it gives them a little bit of time to heal. I think Minnesota is still a threat in that division.
Oh, and so Detroit.
And even Detroit, they played very, very well against the Giants last week. And
against the Steelers.
And sure. So
The Bears, it was the Bears won against the Steelers. So, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to know.
It really is.
Which Steeler team is going to show up, I think. When you rely on just a couple of players, you could get that kind of a result. And, you know, let's face it. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers all came out in, what was it, 04? And, you know, they're not young quarterbacks anymore. In fact, that's a good segue. It's going to be a very interesting game in Los Angeles where you'll have the Chargers and the Eagles. And the Chargers are actually favored in that game.
Really?
By a couple points. They're home.
Yeah, but if you watch them play against San Francisco, I mean,
they should have won that game. Yeah,
they did win that game.
The Chargers are 0-3.
Oh, wait.
They've still got a very good offensive potential. The aerial game, I think the reason the Chargers are favored, they're not that good of a team, but I think the insight is that Phillip Rivers will air it out, and if he's having a good day and he's on target, the Eagles could very well be upset in that game. I think it would be a mild upset, but it wouldn't be a strong upset, big upset, because. I think Phillip Rivers, much like other teams with dominant quarterbacks like the Packers and the Patriots and so forth, you know, that guy can take the team on his shoulders and carry him. And, you know, the Eagle defense is banged up a little bit. They don't have great corners. So, you know, it's an opportunity for a Charger team that sorely needs a win in a new city where it just moved to.
Right.
So all the incentive is there. I think it'll be a very close game right into the fourth quarter, and it's probably a field goal game.
Hmm.
And you know.
So what's happening with your another 0-3 team that we know about?
Yes, unfortunately, it has not shaped up so far to be a very good year for the New York Football Giants. They should have beaten Philly. last weekend. They had the lead after being shut out for three quarters. They exploded for three touchdowns and took a 21-14 lead. But the $200 million defense that they're relying on so heavily to keep them in games just, you know, imploded and couldn't stop anybody. And they were able to – Philadelphia was able to shut down the Giants' running game a bit and gained – it was a pretty good ground game for the Eagles themselves. But in the long run, you had a late game situation where with seconds to go, the Giants punted away, resulting in a 28-yard punt. You know, and then there's one completion to the wide receiver to get them a little closer, and then the kid hits a 61-yard field goal.
So yeah, that was amazing.
Wasn't there?
I was not watching. I was listening to part of that game. Wasn't that the second field goal? Do one right before that? Was maybe 34, 35 yards?
Yeah, and he missed it. I think there was a 42-yarder that he missed.
Okay. See, I was somewhere where I wasn't able to listen, but
yeah.
I certainly listened to the 61-yard, which was pretty amazing. I mean, he just barely
snuck in the upright. But you know, it's that old adage that good teams find a way to win and bad teams find a way to lose. And the way the Giants have lost these 3 weeks show them or reveal them to some extent to be the bad team that they really are.
Well, you know, the funny thing about that is I'll never forget that kid's name, young man's name, young player's name. Do you remember? So do you remember his name? Nope, I guess not. The player who made that field goal, his name is Jake Elliott, and those of you who know me know that I have a grandson whose name is Jake Elliott. So he's getting a lot of looks when he's introducing himself. So what's happening, you think, with the Giants this weekend?
Well, I think they have a tough assignment in Tampa because Jameis Winston is a very good young quarterback. The Bucs defense is pretty good. They have a puncher's chance, though. I mean, clearly they have to execute. Their biggest problem this year, I don't think, is lack of talent. It's the lack of execution, and they just can't do that. They've been cut to pieces with the big plays. So I think if you make a concerted effort to take them on in, you know, more one-to-one competitions, I think you'll do better if you can isolate your better players like a Beckham, Shepherd, and so forth on the weak side linebackers. And yet Eli Manning has a shot to win this game, no question about it.
Well, how about injuries? I mean, the Packers now are – I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, if they have any more injuries I mean, I first of all, you know, Aaron Rodgers has been throwing, he's been sacked. He's you can tell how rushed he is.
Yes.
Now, actually, though, he does a much better job when he's rushed than a lot of other quarterbacks. One of the things I noticed with the Bears, one of the interceptions really was because Clay Matthews was just bearing down on the quarterback. And I can just imagine this young quarterback who can obviously see Clay Matthews coming at him. He had been sacked before, and you could tell that the trajectory of the ball, you know, he just let it go a little bit too early, and it was a little bit too high. And so he was trying to get it over one Packer. You could tell where he was trying to do it. And in order to get it over that Packer, he just threw it a little bit long and high. And, of course, it was a fairly easy interception. But the other thing, if you watch the highlights, you have to watch the one Jordy Nelson touchdown because he was all alone in the end zone. I mean, it was almost unbelievable. He was just there. And none of the Bears, how they could have missed that, there was some misplays. So, you know, their Packers, now there was a horrible, horrible hit. And we don't know what's, I haven't heard today what's happened to Adams. But if you watched him, I that's one of the worst hits I've seen on the field. And, you know, that helmet hit, we were sitting there thinking he could have broken his
neck. He's never going to get up.
He could have broken his neck. Now, I will say, as he was going out, as they were carrying him out, he put a thumb up. But before that, I mean, he had not moved at all. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that could be a career-ending hit, and you hope not. But now you know, also understand why they get penalized. And I don't know, have you heard anything today, if there's anything happening to the player who hit him?
I think the league is investigating that.
Yeah, I think he could easily be suspended for something like that.
Yeah, very possible.
Well, John, I know you just got here. I know we've both had a busy day, and I don't know what happened to our friend Bill.
Our compadre, Bill Wolfson, hopefully will be back next week.
And yeah.
We will be 2 weeks from today having our friends from Alliance Wealth Management back with us on the Law Show.
Well, good.
And maybe this time we can convince them to hang out for a few minutes on the sports show. But
well,
in two weeks, folks, we'll have the Alliance Wealth Management back.
That's great, because I won't be able to be here, so I'm going to have John handle that show. I'm going to be in Vermont on the 13th and out in Wisconsin watching football
there
on the 20th.
That's right.
So thank you for listening. And as I was telling listeners out there, that Dave and I recently watched the movie Express. Have you ever seen that?
It sounds familiar.
Ernie Davis, the first Heisman.
Oh, that's right. Syracuse player, sure.
Yeah, Syracuse player who actually died of leukemia, never ended up playing in the NFL. Really good movie for anyone who
That's a good recommendation, Pat.
It really is. And it's the kind of thing that you could watch with your kids and, you know, really.
Family movie.
But, you know.
But as Bill would say, get up off
that couch.
And it is nice fall weather. Good luck to everyone for a great weekend, beautiful weather. We'll see you next week.
Great.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.